हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Chaitanopanayanam, Nyaya Sutras, and page 34. Okay, let's unstep this. When many people began to speak in this illogical way, human nature, seeing that it was about to fall into degradation, turned and began to walk on the path of a different philosophy. This new philosophy will bring no bad results. Why not? Because it will destroy materialism. Making this promise, logic gave birth to skepticism. The philosophy of doubts, skepticism threw the rubbish of materialism far away. However, it also created another obstacle to stop belief in God. It made people doubt. I do not have the power to see things as they really are. I see only some aspects of things. Where is the proof that I see things correctly? With my senses, I perceive only certain aspects of things. My eyes I perceive form, my ears sound, and my nose smell, my skin touch, and with my tongue taste. Through these five doors of knowledge, I learn about the qualities of things. If I had more than five senses, if I had perhaps 10 senses, I would learn other different things about the objects I perceive. In this way I've gathered a little bit of knowledge with my senses, but it is knowledge riddled with doubts. Like is the materialism before he was presenting that point. Okay. Not speaking of material causes, effects, no true description of events can be spoken. No conclusion may be drawn that are not based on material causes and effects. The word spirit and love will be cast far away from every book. Then people will gradually become free to be carried away by the waves of materialism. Then the idea of free will be bound and imprisoned, and the truth that all activities are determined by material laws will be proven beyond any doubt. Okay, so that's the materialistic, how they're trying to take it. See, there's a sense of control there. So that control aspect is desired. And then there's a possibility you could enjoy. But you see is that in here, it still ends with the control. Because unless you can control, you can't enjoy. Right? So then you're always going to have that over control, no matter what you do. Wherever you start, it will always come back to that. You know, where there may be an emphasis more one way or another, but you'll always see the philosophies, because it's based on envy and attachment. So then that envy is the control. It always has to come. That always has to be overdone. So here, you're throwing a doubt into that, and that, you know, you're saying it all has to be based on material knowledge and the senses, but my senses being imperfect, it doesn't work. You know, so then you'll come up with this aspect that everything's relative. You know, and everything will be. But that's based on the senses. But if you base it on absolute knowledge, Shabda is descending, then we don't have that problem. So for devotees, they can't use this as a praman. You know, that this is the main evidence that, you know, because it's not seen, people aren't doing it, the society's not. Because it's still the same thing, but actually you just kick it up a little bit. You know, whereas it means of the data, you pick those informations that give you the results you want. In other words, you control the data to only bring out that information. Like you see in media, so many things are going on in the world, but the media will only take certain things. They'll leak completely. So something that last week is the most important thing, this week something else, they'll leave last week's thing. Just go. Does that make sense? It's just whatever they want. It's just like you see when the war in Ukraine is going on. it was all there was happening in the news for weeks and weeks and weeks. But at some point, then it just goes into something else, and it doesn't even mention about it. There's nothing. It doesn't come up with nothing. It's not there. Because they've decided, you know, we've done enough with that. No one wants it anyway. We're going to do something else. So now they'll, you know, on some other aspect and fight over that.
But people are very now respectful towards Putin, so that the news shifted from Corona to this, and Corona somehow disappeared after that.
Yeah, yeah. Even now, it's like, well, mom got something. Like that, no one even brings up that it would be Corona. You know, there's a fever, there's a this, that, and all these things. No, it's just a cold. It's just a cold. Well, if you go back a year, it would have been Corona. Or Corona. Corona, whatever. Because we were talking about Lord Caitanya and Corona. Corona avatar. Let's see. The Muni Man has come. I take it you didn't like Ausch. Yeah, that's what you say. So, you like Ausch? Yeah, it's okay. You didn't say, I don't like it. Yeah, so it's just, each one takes up, because it's here, this is the thing, is that when many people began to speak this illogical way, human nature, seeing that it was about to fall into degradation, turned and began to walk on the path of a different philosophy. So it's the end of the world, so we have to take up something different. But what they take up isn't actually any different. It's just a different variety of... Yeah. In this way, even though it destroyed the philosophy of materialism, skepticism did not help the cause of true spiritual philosophy. Skepticism does not doubt the material world's existence. It merely says, I don't have complete knowledge of things, and there's no way I will ever have complete knowledge. Therefore, I will never understand things as they really are. So then, if that's the case, then why worry about it? You know, so naturally, then you just go back into materialism, right? At the end, skepticism refutes itself. If there is a genuine truth to be understood, then from what root does this philosophy of doubts grow? With careful thinking, one will see that this philosophy of doubts is merely idle chatter. I do not exist. Do I exist or not? Who expresses that doubt? I do. Therefore, I exist. You know, it's just like, you know. Yeah. You know, like the standard, I eat, therefore I am. You know, like that kind of, you know. So that was Bhaktivinoda Thakur, no?
Yes.
Yeah, so then they come up and there's this whole... And it's also interesting how he throws in that mood, just when it's all going to fall apart and everything's going to be finished, but that's what's going on in the world when these shifts happen. Oh, it's the end, it's all this, and then they shift into something. But the basis that the material world exists or not, that never comes into doubt. Right? It means Buddhists do that. They take it to extreme. It doesn't exist. You know, so that's the thing. It's like you see, like the you know, the world's finished because of global warming, but do they ever doubt the modern lifestyle? No, you should still have cars. It's just they shouldn't pollute in the same way. You know, the factories should be there. They just shouldn't pollute the rivers or the air. You know, like that. And then you can attack a few things, but that's it will go according to the political and that, you know, whether nuclear powers are out or coal.
Cows.
Yeah, of course, there's the cows. The cows are probably no problem. But they don't think, well, maybe we should stop eating the cows. Because then they can just eat grass. Because have they checked? Do they make so much methane when they eat just plain fresh grass? Or do they only need it when they give them all this special feed? You know, like that. So then they just let the cows wander and then we don't bother.
They never discuss about them producing money and then having money, which causes a problem.
Yeah, that's also. They should have more and more money, more and more facility, but at the same time, that's produced. It's like the communists. It says everybody should be equal. You know, no one controls, no one owns. But the point is why are those people making money? No, you're trying to get the money for the people that don't have the money. They're the ones that are making the complaint. Right? But then you take it away from the people that do have the sense of ownership, and they make the money, you're going to take away them, but then what are you going to do? Hence, communism, like Russia, collapsed after 70 years. It was economically unviable. It could not function. You know, taking advantage of that, then, you know, you have the glasnost. But otherwise, they economically couldn't have continued. And then I think, you know, being clever, then the Chinese saw the same thing and they just shifted gears. They started, They went for the capitalism, but they did it in one region. There was one district that was functioning on capitalism and had all the factories, and then they'd export. And when they saw that it worked, they worked out how to, you know, have it, you know, the economic and free market, but at the same time maintain their dictatorship. Then they expanded the whole country. So it's that's the thing, is it's unviable. You can't function without vices. You know, you can if you just go to the forest. Like in Tapaloca, there's no businessman. You know? You know, it's not like when they all come together and there's a guy on the side, you know, like that, you know, and that Buddha says, yeah, I got this great, you know, ashram with a view. You know, I'd say, you know, south-facing cave, you know, where, you know, gets some morning sun, you know, things like that. No?
Waterfall.
Yeah, waterfall, you know, like that. Round windows, you know. Yeah, yeah. The next thing you know is that you suddenly notice all these guys standing around in copens in front of your place. Okay, so that's the thing, is that they maintain, because they're materialists. But materialism, if it's just taken as a philosophy, it becomes too gross and too, it gets rid of things, because the idea is just the senses. So, you know how you say it here? The, what was that word? Spirit and love get in the way of the senses, because if you have the spirit, then, you know, it means that you have an ideal, so that means you have to control the senses to go after that. Or love, it means there has to be some restrictions of that. You get rid of those, then it's just pure materialism. But actually, who benefits are the guys that are making the big money, not the common person. Though it's presented that he'll get benefit, but it's not really. It's just like this. If someone had as much sense gratification as they, you know, were interested in, would they bother with social media? If you're directly engaged in interaction with other people, that sense, so why is it has come up? You free the society from all restrictions, then you would think that they would be more engaged. But you see, they're less engaged than they were before. Therefore, they have to have social media too. So it's fun. It's presented. You'll get this. Break down everything. Now they can just make them work and make money off of them. So they just become, I'd say, you know, just cheap labor. It's very, very far out. Riki, Sohutraswami. Shamshaya means doubt. It is the state in which the mind wavers between conflicting views regarding a single object. In a state of doubt, there are at least two alternative views, neither of which can be determined to lead to a state of certainty. Shamshaya is not a certain knowledge. Neither is it a mere reflection of knowledge, nor is it invalid knowledge. It is a positive state of cognition, but the cognition is split in two and does not provide any definite conclusions. Right? So it could be this, it could be that. So it's a positive thing, but you're just not sure which, like that. For example, in the dark of the night, a person may be looking at a plant, but because he cannot see clearly, he does not recognize the plant for what it is and falsely perceives it as a man. However, if it would be logically impossible for a man to be present in that place, then the mind does not accept that the figure is a man. Like that. The mind becomes confused at that point, questions whether it is a man or a plant, and cannot come to a decision about what it actually is. Thus, doubt is the production of a confused state of mind that is not able to perceive with clarity, right? You know, and then after thinking for some time, because it can't be a man, because why would they be there, but it looks like a man, then you get into the thing where it could be a werewolf or something, you know, then, because otherwise how did it get there? Same time, it could be a man and a plant if it was an ant. No? No? Okay.
Ant-man.
Or... Yeah, so there's always going to be this thing, and you can also combine, as you can have it with the skepticism, have the negative. You know, it's always this terrible thing or that, but you think it's a positive. You're finding fault, so you can mix, but the point is you think it's positively could be this or positively that. You know, or you could look at it as the end of the world like this or the end of the world like that. You know, will the whole thing go up in fire or will it be submerged in water? You know, mm-hmm. So that makes sense. Yeah. Vritti. Next, the fourth padartha called prayojana is discussed, right? So then doubt comes up because then there's anuman, then you can analyze. There's no doubt, it's either you have the knowledge or it's an area that you don't have any interest in. Sutra 1.1.24. Purpose, prayojana, is the object in whose pursuit Adi kritya, one proceeds to act. Right? So, what you act to get a result, so that result that you're acting on, you know, for the purpose of, that is the prayojana. What you want to gain. Riti. Sahutu Swami. The word prayojana means aim. Without an aim or a target, no one can perform any action. It does not matter whether that aim is fully understood or just presumed. One acts either to achieve desirable objects or to get rid of undesirable ones. Those desirable and undesirable objects that motivate one's activities are known as prayojana. Riti. The fifth padartha called drishtanta is elaborated next. This is an important aspect of reasoning. As an appropriate example can be accepted by both parties involved in the discussion without any disputation or difference of opinion. Hence, drishtanta, if properly applied, aids in establishing one's doctrine. So you're trying to find a common ground, but it's not a compromise. It's because you're working on the principle. Compromise comes when you're working on the detail. But drishtanta means that you're understanding the principle. Then you can see is how these two alternatives aren't actually a problem. The two details aren't a problem because they're the same. Mm-hmm. You know, does that make sense? But otherwise, if you don't work on the principle, then you're just going to argue over the detail, and so then there'll be a problem.
On this topic of compromise, there are some people, professional negotiators, which advise that you should actually never go for the middle ground in a negotiation, because neither you or the other guy will be actually pleased.
Yeah, and so therefore, better you're pleased than the other guy's pleased. So therefore, hold your ground. And because if you do that, he'll have a job. Because as soon as he comes, well, then he's out. And then they can carry on the conversation themselves, what you have to do. Neither you or them will be pleased. Yeah, and then it'll just come back again. That's very intelligent, actually. So here's the principle, is the common ground. So you're both getting what you want, but you have to be able to see how that comes.
Yeah.
And it might be you preferred it this way, but you're getting the result by another way. Mm-hmm. You know? Sutra 1.1.25. A corroborative instance, drishtanta, is that thing about which an ordinary man, alokika, and an expert, parikshata, entertain the same opinion. So corroborative means it's a corroboration between both understand the same thing, right? Commentary by Vatsyayana Rishi. Laymen are those who have not surpassed the standard of ordinary man and who have not attained a sharp intellect, either by nature or by studying the scripture. Experts, on the contrary, as they are capable of examining an object with the help of hypothetical reasoning, tarka, and the pramanas. As they are capable of examining an object with the help of hypothetical reasoning, tarka, and the pramanas. Right, so the ordinary person, he can't necessarily use his intellect and all that. And so then the experts are persons who can do that. So now, drishtantas, when an expert can explain it to an ordinary person, the ordinary person understands it. That's what you're trying to get. Yes?
Seems like the drama, the whole idea of drama, that everybody can actually appreciate the highest reality in the same way.
Yes, it means that you would have to be, in other words, you're acting, it means you're dramatically applying the various steps and stages and examples, rather than just illustrating it by speaking it.
So even the layman can understand.
Yes. It's just a very nice way of doing it. As you see, the whole entertainment industry comes up from using this, because people like to see this. So that's when the Vedic, it was very much a prominent part of explaining all these things. But yes, the same thing, is that they don't catch it. Then you have to get that across. It's just like sometimes you get these overly, I don't know what would be the proper term. I'm sure there's probably technical terms. When the person had his own idea and mental thing, and he presented it through this, and then they put it onto the stage. No one understands it.
Unintelligible.
Yeah, unintelligible, but it's a type of artistic expression where they, you know, they overly like that, and then he'll consider everybody else as just, you know, uncultured, you know, Philistines or, you know, Cretans or, you know, something, because it's so obvious in that. But some other people, it's this and that and so many things, and there's a good chance it's all a show, because he doesn't want to look like an idiot, so he's saying all that. And the fun part is because it's all, it is impersonal, it's just feelings, he can actually interpret however he likes. Have you even seen that sometimes when there'll be one of those obscure endings to a movie, and they actually have an interview, and a whole bunch of people are asking the actual playwright or the director, does it mean this, or, you know, somebody say it means that, and like that, and he'll just say, yeah. They'll just say it can mean all those things. You know, he doesn't want to take it. Because if he says one, then the other guy's going to, if he says the other, then suddenly, so everybody could be happy. You know, so it's, yeah. So you have, that goes on a lot. You say, how it's so fabulous and so wonderful. You know, explain how it's fabulous. Well, you know, it's so expressive. What is it expressing? You know, it means just there's feelings. And, oh, what feeling? You know,
and back to the previous point, if you make it unclear, then it's considered.
Yes, it's very elevated. The guy just sits there, comes out, he sits in a chair. It's a big whole open hall, not a theater, an open hall, and there's like 20 seats kind of in a half circle around, and in the middle kind of there's one seat, and there's, you know. So they come in and they sit down, and, you know, everybody thinks, oh, when's the show going to start? They don't already know. I mean, this is just being clever. They don't know that because of the lighting, they can't see. Already the chairs are, and the guy's in the chair. So when they're all that and wondering when the show's going to start, suddenly their lights go off and that light goes on. And it's just, there's this guy there. You know, and there's, oh, wow, this is, you know, like that. Again, you're kind of confusion and that. And then he just sits there and makes his faces and this and that. You know, for 2 hours, just contorts his face and his body and this, says nothing. And people are there, and, oh, yeah, and this and that. And somebody, you know, write the reviews, it was fabulous. only people, 20 people come because they feel they're the only ones in the whole city of, you know, 10 million people that are qualified to understand this level of art and expression. And this guy is a, you know, a, how you say, a pioneer and this and that and leading and some things like this and that. All it is just, you know, some guy sat there and, you know, that basically what happened is beforehand they gave him a, how you say, they gave him a, what do you call it, you know, medicine that would see that you get constipated, and then they fed him beans, lots of beans. So the guy had gas and couldn't get rid of it, so he just sat there for all that time. And, you know, so it's got real, the real torture, the real pain, the soul, the things. Yeah. And I'm not goofing on this, I'm actually saying real stuff. Yeah. So, maybe I'm exaggerating on the beans and the, but the actual, that's the thing, that nothing's said in the sight of people. So that's again, like you said, confusing. It could be anything. And so everybody can think, it's like Buddha did, he's the original one of the rose. And everybody speculates and it's amazing, and so much realization when it's just, he just held up a rose. You know, and after an hour, then, what was that? You know, what was that? And said, I was just reminding anyone that tomorrow's Valentine's Day. Yeah, then I'll let everything go.
What an idiot.
But, so it's just so far out about the confusion, huh? It's like answers so many things.
So that's the Mahavakya Maharaj. So it's, didn't become Mahavakya. It is the Mahavakya.
It is the Mahavakya. It's
only when you good. Only when you go to IIT, they reveal to the Mahavakya.
Well, that's because you're the chosen. But yeah, I remember one devotee was talking. There was somebody who used to come to the temple and visit, and all that. You know, always anxiety, some problems, this, that. You got together. It was very favorable, and that. And with time, I think he got it together. Like that, and then eventually, you know, he did well in politics. Or it might have been he was already in politics and he had a rough patch, so he'd come to the temple. He got it together and he became the prime minister. I think he was prime minister. Or at least, I think when the talk happened, he wasn't prime minister. I think he was one of the main ministers. But I think he eventually became prime minister. And he was talking to the devotee, who was the president. Who would have been the one who talked to him and inspired him? And he was saying that you either know what's going on and you work within that and help the system, or you don't know and you're controlled by the system. But basically what they don't appreciate is people that understand and make trouble.
And not participate.
Yeah, not participate. Like that. You know, unless it's, you know, okay, you're a monk, so you don't have to. I mean, it's like them, they read this. A monk, so they don't have to, but they don't get in the way.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so he was explaining what they, you know, how certain things work, how the government controls the people. You know, but it's all stuff that the people think that, you know, they're being given a great facility. You know, but actually, no, it's control. Like that. So, yeah, so it's just a matter of you're confused, and then everyone's good.
Devartha Maharaj, once he met one God like this, and they had exchanged, so he told him all that he knew about the whole system, and the guy looked
him. Devamrita Maharaj.
Yeah. And then the guy looked at him and said, well, if you know so much, why don't you join us? Because you seem to be, you know what's going on, so you should be one of us. Basically.
Exactly. But you notice the one common point. Why did he know? Because he mentioned before about the at IIT, they told him, so at Yale they also told him. Because that's the thing, is you throw it out, even you say it, the common person won't get it. And the others will, and then they'll inquire, and then they'll move in that direction. So.
Like, if you remember, when there was one that he was very much into conspiracy theories. Well, one time he kept asking questions, and then at one point Ambarish Prabhu and Bhavananda, they just showed up Then you thought, okay, now the guy she can be nice to me, she showed up, sorry, so I had to go.
Oh, and he got up and left. Some saying about it, every truth there's an untruth, and every untruth there's a truth, or some, there's some kind of, I think it's a communication Mahavakya or something.
I heard it in a movie. I thought it's a very great thing. He says, behind every truth, behind every untruth, I say there is always a truth underlying it, and behind every truth, I say there is an untruth in it. So that's why I'm always successful in whatever I say.
Okay. As you always know. Okay, so you can go either way.
So I'm not doing movie dialogue
like this. Yeah. There's a good chance the whole movie was written based off of that one premise. Yeah, that one thing. And then they do the whole, because you see sometimes there's this thing that they put out that's so remote. You know, revealing and all that. It's just one line, that the whole thing was just to express that one line.
The better movie was, there's a movie was which was made on the Bhagavad Gita, was Sthita Pragyasya Kavashya Samadhistasya Kesha. He quotes the verse a couple of times.
Well, this is the Tiger Vance?
No, it's he's like a thief now. Not just a TV station.
Oh, this is an Indian.
Indian.
Oh, okay.
Ah, that was.
It wasn't on golf.
That I appreciated at least, that he quoted the full verse. And
quoted the verse, okay.
When he was like, when he, it was about to reveal that he is the main head of all the gangsters. The
okay, even gangsters. Though he just wanders around in the street as a beggar. So. Okay. And that little girl who used to come out and bring you stuff to eat and all that, she becomes the next thing.
Second paragraph.
Now, an object is considered to be a corroborative instance when it is viewed by the expert in the same way as it's viewed by the layman. So that means, in this case, because the layman... Well, this is the, you could say, the typical example. It can also be two people who are equal, or this, but the point is one has a knowledge or a vision of something, the other one doesn't. And so, drishtanta is the process by which the second party who doesn't understand has the same view as the first one. Right? It may not be as broad now, but at least the point being made, they have that, right? By pointing to the defect, virodha, in the corroborative instance of the opponents, they can be silenced. Right? So if they are trying to present something of corroborative, it means they're trying to use their drishtanta, and you point out the fault, so it doesn't actually, it's not a valid, then they have nothing to say. By establishing the soundness, samadhi, of the corroborative instance, one's own position can be established. So, they're trying giving examples, you can point out the flaw in their examples or their whole method, then it theirs goes. If you can show yours and establish it, then yours, because the drishtanta is actually the point. It's because in vada you're trying to get them to understand. So we're not talking about, you can use that same technique, try to establish yours and the others. It's not that they understand, just that they don't have anything to say, they're silent, so you won. But here it's a matter, their silence means now you can properly establish what is the absolute. So that's why then the natural form is an expert trying to teach someone who's not expert. Because then you do have a way, you're trying to develop knowledge so that there's this understanding, expand on the knowledge, rather than two oppositions that are fighting and opposing each other. You know, whether it's the shoe or whether it's the pot.
It's very interesting feature of logic. I always thought that it is about debate, winning, but actually here it's just about teaching.
Yeah, it's for teaching.
coming to a proper conclusion.
Yeah.
Truth.
Truth, yes. Conclusion. Truth is conclusion.
Yes.
Well, nowadays, we want the truth means we want data. In other words, I want data that I can use specific information to establish certain knowledge so I can get a certain effect. Because you can say all kinds of, they ask you the question, you may be talking facts, but it's not the facts they want to hear. So then they'll keep asking the question in ways to lead you to give the answer, either directly or indirectly. You know, even if they can't get you directly to say something, or you haven't done it, but then they'll say something that makes it look in the negative. You know, so it's like, how you say you're controlling this and that, and so you're trying to say, no, we're just trying to create some facility and all that, and, you know, and all that. And so when you move around and all that, and how do you get around? Well, I prefer car. Okay, what kind of car? Well, I have a Mercedes and all that. So, okay, Mercedes. So Mercedes, good, you know, like that. Yeah, you know, solid, this, that, things like that. So Mercedes is German, so that means you do support the Nazis. Says, what? No, like that. So you're a Nazi. Okay, like this. And then, you know, they've gotten what they want. Because that was the data that they want to therefore use for as their misinformation for... So maybe that was the reason that they went into Ukraine, because there were too many Mercedes. Okay. Among the components of inference, avayava, it can be used as the exemplification, udaharana, footnote 16. It means it can be used as the application. The drishtanta is actually a particular getting across the understanding you have to the other person. But using udaharana, the examples, that's generally the best medium for that. And then it'll be taken a step further because you then show the similarity. You've given your example as the similarity, then it brings the drishtanta further. So you've already tried to say if the drishtanta is there, great, you just continue talking. If it's not, you give a reason. If the drishtanta happened, then then it's done. You don't have to give an example. You can continue talking. But if it doesn't, you give the example. And once the example is clear, there's a drishtanta, you could say, within that smaller circle of the example. Now you can apply it to the similarity in the upanaya, where now you can bring the drishtanta back to what your reasoning. You know, in other words, now it explains your reason. Then once that's done, now you bring it to the full, the wisdom or the application of the science, where now this is how you apply that knowledge. So,
yes.
It created, it founded the spark, and then it expands to different levels of reality, what you want to expect.
Yes. So it's just a matter of how, it can be just how you word things, and, it's just like how you word your thesis, persons understand it. You know, if not, then you give the reason, then they should be able to understand. If not, you start giving examples, and once they catch the example, then you can bring it, therefore, it's like this. And then, okay, so now it's like that. So then this is what should be done. So that's what you're trying to establish. Krishna's Supreme Personality of Godhead, therefore, we should surrender. So you could say, as one is more on the sambandha aspect, you know, like that, and then you're trying to give the reason. Means you're trying to establish, the prayojana, you know, be giving your reason, you know, what's it there, you do that, unless it's just a technical point. But then you show practically how that works, and then once they do, now it brings you to the point where now you will practically apply. So we see drishtanta, it can be expressed through the example, but it's actually a particular state of understanding. Yeah. The Briti Sahotra.
No, that's a good one.
Oh, footnote, yes. An instance where drishtant is applied to understand the tattva can be seen in C.C. Adi Lila 7.125. Tatapi achintya shaktye hoy avikari prakrita chintamani tahe drishtanta jay dhari. Using the example of a touchstone, which by its energy turns iron to gold and yet remains the same, we can understand that although the Supreme Personality of Godhead transforms his innumerable energies, he remains unchanged. Oh, ba. So this is for? Govardhan. So Agi Kichila.
Agi Kichila Ras.
Ras. Oh, okay.
Oh, that.
He's figured out. He's figured out the time to come. Okay. So I was thinking about it, it's now he's figured out. Drishtanta is the use of an example to illustrate a common. Oh no, we're doing here. Yeah, so here you see is that. Yeah, just sit down or sit over here. Or can I go show?
No.
Like that. It's just like on the cards, you have a governor. You have to put the governor. Otherwise. Okay, so using the example, so he's using that, and then they say similarly. He remains unchanged. So you're giving the example, but you're also, because the example is that is like this, but then the example becomes complete when you take it across. That takes it back to your point. So that, depending upon what you're doing, if it's just one thing, then you're going to see, is after the udaharana, the example, then the drishtanta will be brought together solidly. It means, in other words, they're on board with the example. They can relate to the chintamani turning iron to gold, the stone. So they catch that. So now you've got the basis of it. Then you take it to the Supreme Lord in the same way. He transforms his innumerable energies and makes everything happen, and remains the same. He doesn't change. So then. By that, then now you brought brought it near. That's what it means by upanaya. It means to bring near. The other example, okay, but now you bring it near. Because now it starts to make point, because your point is, the Lord is independent. He has his unlimited energies. He does everything, yet he is not involved. You know, he is not transformed. Because that'll be the thing is, if there's energies and they transform, that means Brahman's being transformed. So therefore, it can't happen. Brahman has to do everything. And then end up meaning that Brahman becomes transformed, because otherwise it doesn't happen, so they actually make their philosophy worse. So here is that drishtanta is that process. Now we'll see is that if you have one point, you're bringing it down, right? The one point. Then when that point of drishtanta, then it just naturally follows those avayavas, right? Right? So the udaharana will go into the, like this, right? But if you have a bigger aspect, it has so many features to it, you'll see that this will be constantly being done. So that's like when you have these huge purports, like, you know, let's say for the first verse in on Bhagavatam, you know, it's a huge purport, and then I think also Gita, then there's these, you know, sometimes 10-page purports. So you have these, and it's many, many points being made. Is each one is giving an example, and the drishtanta is being brought. So each one it brings to the upanaya. you know, in context with that, with the original point. But then you see, then at the end, it'll wrap the whole thing up. So you can do small circles of the adhikaranas within the bigger one. This is where it becomes confusing because people want to know it's just this, but no, it's that's why it's important. This approach, how Vatsyayana means Gotama is giving it, Vatsyayana is bringing it clear, is that the drishtanta is not the example. Because if you take this example, then it gets confusing what's going on. No, drishtanta is bringing out common knowledge and therefore bringing your point across. Then you see as drishtanta is already, you're trying to get them to understand something even bigger. It's already happening when you're giving the thesis, but they don't understand. So then you use the second. If that doesn't work, you use the third, right? And that third, then naturally we use the fourth to bring it back, right? But then you're bringing it back to that thesis, but in the form of the siddhanta or conclusion as the fifth. And so then however much, because you might be giving reasonings within that, you might be giving sub-principles. You know, if you don't understand the main principle, there's sub-principles. And so then you're explaining each one of those, and those will also have this whole process of drishtanta happening. Does that make sense? So it'll keep going on like that. And so that it keeps going on like that, then, but it's still the one thing. You're using the system of the abhayavas. So that's why then, you know, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur then makes this point that in cultured society, people speak according to the adhikaranas. That's how you present. That's just the way you do, because it's about vada. It means you're trying to get the point across. Right? It's not the jalpa or chala, none of these. It's not about winning. It's about siddhanta. So to get the siddhanta, then you have to go through those steps. Does that make sense? So that's the fun part, is that you have to understand that all these 16 padarthas are principles. But they have their natural forms. Like cooking is a principle, but it has its natural form. You know? And so then, you know, a nice pot, a nice stove, a nice kitchen is, you know, the best one. But you can go out into the field and put together a couple of rocks and get out your, you know, can of beans and open the top, and without taking the top off, stick it on the fire and have it boil. It works. It's still cooking. But it's in a very simple form. Does that make sense? Its manifestation is not so great, but it's still, if you understand cooking, you understand how it is. That makes sense, you know. So therefore, even you have the top chef. If he goes camping, you could still be having gourmet cooking, even though he's out and you're cooking on two bricks and a can, because just he understands how cooking works. So therefore, if you're talking with someone very sophisticated, you can all use all the big terms and all the big words and, you know, very sophisticated examples. Or you can give it very simply. You can explain the same thing to a kid. You're going to take them through the same steps. It's no different. So principle is the same. Does that make sense? So we're used to that logic means this very elevated, fancy, technical thing because we're looking at the form of it. Because when did we learn about logic? Right? It means when they actually start teaching, means earliest it might be in middle school. But most likely it's going to be an undergraduate when they actually get into logically teaching. So you think it's at that level, so you think it can be taught to a kid. But actually, means the parents or anybody who's talking to kids, they're using the same thing. You know, so that's what you mentioned, is that you have more of that, because it's about knowledge than let's say in a Brahminical environment. That family is going to, by nature, explain more to that kid. Right? Kshatriyas explain a lot, but at the same time it is duty. You're supposed to do this. This is how it works. Vaishyas, why waste time? And if it does not making money, then why you're doing it? So in other words, they'll only explain how much will bring about
Okay, yeah. Well, we were talking about kids. So,
yeah. It's natural. And about intellectuals, so then, you know, kids, intellectuals, you know, so yeah, he's just doing his natural. See, it's spontaneous. As soon as it's like that, then that was the Vibhava. So then the Anubhava was then his natural thing is to move. But ultimately, the real motive is he wants to make sure that he gets here. So afterwards, the class will finish off obeisances. So then he's put it around the corner. You'll have to get up to go around to get it. While you get up to go around to get it, he'll come around this side and pick up something from over here.
Misdirection.
Yes. If you don't want to explain, you confuse, because otherwise if he explains, then there's no chance. Yeah, so that's why then you can see is that the kids can know all this stuff. Like I remember seeing once we were walking somewhere, Prajumna Prabhu was there, his son was there, and all the big guys were there, you know, Bhavananda, TKG, and, you know, others like that. And we were walking down the road, and something came up and some question like this. You know, some technical question on something to do with Hari Bhakti Vilas and, you know, something that we do. Or some activity. And then his kid, who I think was 8 at the time, but Julie, he explained it. You know? And like everybody's like, you know, like that. Because he would be hearing this. His father would want, means in giving, he would want him to know these technical things that makes him, you know, a Brahmin, that makes him an intellectual. Others, it's just what's practical. Do this, and you know, it means you might explain bigger, you do this because it might have these implications on the administrative level, but on the Vaishya, it's just you do this, otherwise you won't make profit. You don't have to explain technically why it's working, unless it's advantageous for business. But the other is just having the knowledge, that's what makes you, that makes your occupation. Does that make sense? So that's why we always recommend that they explain to children and do all these things and all that, but it doesn't happen because I haven't up until right this moment when we're talking about it. You know, in other words, the drishtanta is happening. I'm giving the examples to explain to you, but in the process I'm understanding, oh, that's why none of the parents ever explained anything to their kids. You know, because, you know, I mean, some of them, because that's not their nature. That's not how they dealt. That's not how their parents dealt with them. Yes?
In that point, Maharaj, you're explaining, while giving that drishtanta to kids, actually, real Vaishyas, they don't talk about the prophet, they talk about the culture.
Yes.
And then the real Brahmins talk about that aspect of elevating to transcendental. And
yes.
In Kshatriyas, they talk about the dharma.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the spirit they catch, and that's the spirit they want to develop. And it's only the Shudra.
Just on the side, getting rid of the spirit. Let's get rid of Varnashram, because it has spirit.
That spirit is what is the core thing.
Yeah.
And it's the Shudra who doesn't have any of this, and all those, whether you talk about profit, everything, they think that they are higher, but actually it's nothing.
Yeah.
And even about that aspect of they know, or they're unique because they know, it's all Shudra things. It's about the fame, about...
Mm-hmm.
From Shudra's perspective, Vaishya means profit, you know, Kshatriya means fame, and Brahman means prestige of knowledge.
But it's the Shudra thing, because the thing is when it mentions, Manu mentions what everybody's going for. The most important thing on Shudras is fame. Age is also a consideration, because them, if you're older, then you have to respect. Well, the others, they know, is okay, you have a young businessman, if he's 10 times richer than you, you respect him even though he's younger. But he'll respect you for your age and the time that you put into the thing. But that thing is, so that's where it comes down, is everything's interpreted as prestige.
And that's because it's more of ignorance aspect of the higher three castes, profit, adoration, and distinction.
Distinction, adoration,
profit. Yeah.
Wow. Never put it that way before. Yeah. As the Hoja Maharaj would say, this is KBTNP. It's a military term, which means you go in and completely wipe the people out and take no prisoners. Kick, take no prisoners. Because, you know, you generally go in to just, you know, win, but this way you go in and no prisoners. So that means no one survives. So this is one of those where you just wipe out the whole.
There are no mercenaries.
Yeah. Okay. So we got that, yeah. So we see, it means here is that in the drishtanta that he's giving here is that therefore the understanding of how Krishna is the Supreme Lord and he controls his energies, they're transforming though he remains the same. Right? You've given the one example, that's the example, but you have to bring it, the drishtanta happens when you show the similarity.
Yes.
So it's only complete, you give the example as the first stage because it makes a connection. But then when you bring it across and you use similarity or the comparison, then it's there. So example and comparison. So the pratyaksha and the comparison, that then will create the drishtanta. The drishtanta has to be based on shabda. No? Yeah.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Shri Prabhupada.